This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Now we'll move from public art in the streets to what goes on in a private art academy. In just over two decades, Academy of Art University in San Francisco has been transformed under President Alisa Stevens. It's grown from just over 2,000 students to 16,000, and its revenues, they've skyrocketed from $8 million a year to about $300 million. But while the nation's largest private art university is thriving financially, its students are not. Less than a third graduate within 6 years, and the result is thousands of people saddled with student debt and a very uncertain future in the art world. That's what Forbes staff writer Katya Sovchuk found when she wrote the article Black Arts, the $800 million family selling art degrees and false hopes. She sat down to talk about it with KALW's Ben Drefney.
What got you interested in this story?
So Forbes headquarters in San Francisco are just a couple blocks away from AAU's headquarters, and I see the red banners flying all over the downtown streets every day, the shuttle buses driving by, and also growing up in San Francisco, I always heard the university's name and was curious about the family that owned it, and my colleague said, you know, you should look into it.
Well, because marketing has become a big part of AAU, and these banners have been growing more and more and more over the last 20 years.
That's right. The school has grown dramatically. You know, it started a long time ago, 1929, in a two-room loft, and now it has 16,000 students. At its peak a couple of years ago, it had 18,000 students. And a lot of that growth has really happened in the last 20 years under the new president, Alisa Stevens. And it's also dramatically grown online. About 35% of students are online.
Uh-huh. So you start your story with Alisa Stevens, and she... just for some background, is very, very wealthy, and she has mansions. She has a jet. She has a yacht. She's high profile. She's connected. She's in the society pages. So I'm wondering, when you are coming across somebody like this, and she ends up being sort of the start of your story, maybe the story itself, like, what were your impressions of her?
Well, The Stevens family has been well known around San Francisco for a long time. They don't make a secret of their wealth. And, you know, when I spent some time with Alisa, she is driven everywhere by private chauffeurs. I did not know that they are the largest property owners, or one of the largest property owners in the city. And I think a lot of people were surprised to hear that. But I think where the net worth really comes in is I've heard a lot of students kind of be outraged by it because a good chunk of the university's revenues come from loans. And so it's just kind of shows to them, I think, where some of their money is going.
How much time did you spend with Alisa Stevens?
I saw her, I think it was three or four times. I went to a fashion show that happened in May. She was, you know, talking to a lot of San Francisco socialites and, you know, fashion designers and San Francisco politicians over there. I went to a mural unveiling. She does some beautification events around San Francisco. You know, the students paint murals. I visited her car collection and I interviewed her in her office.
She has a significant car collection?
Yeah, the family are really into cars. They have about 250 classic cars worth around $70 million.
Where do you park those in San Francisco?
she some of them you can see on display on Van Ness Avenue they call it the Academy of Art Automobile Museum. But
they belong to the Stevens family?
They belong to the Stevens family, and they also have some other garages on Van Ness and elsewhere where they house them. And often Alisa told me she likes driving them during lunch or to opening night at the opera, or if you saw the Giants parade, she drove the car with the trophy, I believe, this year, or the Giants won.
Right. Did she drive it, or was she driven in it?
She actually drove it, and she likes driving a lot. She told me it represents to her, you know, freedom and mobility and comfort.
Uh-huh. So you guys talked about cars. What other things did you guys talk about mostly?
And we, you know, obviously talked a lot about what she's done as president. She's invested a lot in technology. She's bought a lot of real estate. And I did pose some pretty tough questions to her, too, about some of my findings, and she gave me her take on that.
Like what?
For example, I asked her about the graduation rates and why they're so low and why they've attracted scrutiny from the school's accreditor. And she said that graduation rates are a red herring at a school like AAU, that, you know, it's the portfolio that matters. And so if you're able to get a good job, the degree doesn't really matter. But the school wouldn't really provide rates about, you know, how many students are getting jobs. And some of the recruiters and former students and faculty I talked to said it was more common to drop out because you kind of realize you can't keep up since you didn't need a portfolio to get in, or you can't afford it, or you decide it's not worth it. So, but without those stats, it's, you know, we can't confirm their assertion.
That's Katya Savchuk. She's staff writer for Forbes, who wrote the article Black Arts, the $800 million family selling art degrees and false hopes. So when you say false hopes, you're talking about the graduation rates and the outcomes for employment, right?
Yes, obviously the hopes aren't false for everybody. There are students who've landed at Pixar and Disney. School wouldn't tell us how many per year, but, you know, you can open up their newspaper, alumni newspaper, and read about these success stories. But the hopes are false, I think, for the majority of students, especially online and part-time students who don't end up graduating. You know, President Stevens says that the degree doesn't matter, but that's not something that recruiters bring up when they talk to students. And definitely a student I talked to who's now serving, or who was serving coffee at Starbucks, is now driving for Lyft, said, you know, I was hooked by that dream of working for Pixar, and he felt he didn't get meaningful guidance for finding a job. He actually did end up graduating, but is now back at a community college taking computer science classes to try to improve his career prospects. And definitely I've also talked to students who got great jobs, but even some of those students, a couple of them that I talked to said, I did really well, but, you know, 5% of the people I started with got jobs.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk to any current students?
I talked to students who, they must have graduated now, but I met students at the fashion show that I went to. I met, you know, more than a dozen students, and that's really one of AAU's strongest programs, and the people who were at the show are, you know, the best of the best. So they were definitely, you know, that's why the school wanted to spotlight them, and it certainly worked out very well for them.
Tell me about one who particularly struck you.
There was a student named JC Munoz who did not have a background in art. And so for him, AAU worked very well because he didn't have that portfolio that some other art schools would require. But he did tremendously, and he had multiple job offers. I saw his designs, and he's off to a job at Adidas now, full-time job. So he did super well, but he emailed me today and said, thank you for writing this article because, you know, the students at AAU are talking about it. And because he has friends and classmates that he started out with that, because that portfolio wasn't required, because those graduation rates weren't, you know, necessarily mentioned up front, they didn't have the same experience at all.
Are there any other thoughts that you have that you weren't able to get into the written story in Forbes?
Well, we didn't talk too much about the school's planning code violations, and there's actually a second story on Forbes.com that focuses a lot more on that. It's something that's outraged a lot of San Francisco residents, a lot of city officials. Current planning commissioner told me it's an operation of lawlessness never before seen in an otherwise reasonably operating city, and this is a sitting planning commissioner. Former planning commissioner called Elisa Stevens a scofflaw. They have violations on three quarters of their buildings.
And to be specific, these violations are largely for converting buildings into other purposes. Is that right?
Yes. So not, you know, getting the proper permits, for example, to turn, in some cases, rent-controlled housing into student dorms. And the enforcement process has dragged on for a decade now, which has prompted some officials to say they've gotten preferential treatment. Dr. Stevens has denied asking for that from the mayor's office, for one. Though
you said that she was hobnobbing with politicians at the fashion show, for example.
There's clearly a long and pretty close relationship between the Stevens family and City Hall. Her dad was good friends with Willie Brown. She is frequently photographed with Mayor Ed Lee, and he issues proclamations for some of her guests of honor, and stop by her, her cocktail hour at the fashion show, and she snapped some photos. And also, interestingly, she hired a political consultant named Enrique Pierce to work for AAU in 2012. He helped elect Ed Lee in 2011 and worked for him as a political consultant after 2012. So there's no smoking gun, but it's a pretty tight relationship.